This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
You didn't get bored by baseball.
Okay, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
It's Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
There's Salt Lamakia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball
isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
All right, Jose Abreu is with the Houston Astros. This is the first domino to fall. I guess first domino. Who knows if it's the first domino to fall? Maybe the weeks upon weeks upon weeks of Billy. We'll have to wait for the other dominoes. But this is the big news. 3 years, $60 million for Houston Astros, including Guardians. Looked like they were willing to go 3 years. According to John Heyman, the Red Sox wanted to prioritize Abreu above everybody else, not named Xander Bogaerts and Rafael Devers. So Abreu, a good fit for a lot of teams. We heard San Diego also in the mix. And we knew that Abreu was going to be one of the more fascinating guys heading into this offseason, heading into free agency. It really was in terms of how much he was going to be valued in his clubhouse, how much they were going to overlook some downturns he had last year. Although he's been pretty consistent throughout his year. I mean, you're talking about living at 800 or better OPS across the board ever since he got in the major leagues. So he fits a lot of teams because of all those reasons, not just one skill set, but the whole thing. And I think that a sneaky thing here that you're going to hear from Courtney Finnegan and Matt Spiegel, we're going to talk a little bit about Jose Abreu, is how much teams maybe did value that other element of the off the field element to it, how much Houston did. Now, Crane comes in, the owner comes in, and he's like, I'm not going to be outbid for this guy, and so let's go get him. This is clearly very, very aggressive. Maybe who knows if James Click was the GM if they would have signed him. We don't know, but we know that Crane wants to be aggressive, and he was aggressive. But I think that teams did view him as Jose Abreu is as a guy who could impact not only on the field, but in the clubhouse as well. And we talked so much about the new age of GMs and how maybe they don't value this as much. I think as we've also talked about, I think this is a little cyclical. I think it is coming back. I think teams are valuing this. This is one of the conversations we've had regarding Xander Bogaerts. That I'm Bloom. He said, if we didn't value that, then we wouldn't start the conversation with a 30-year-old free agent like him. So I think Abreu falls under that umbrella. So we had this conversation. This goes back a few weeks when we identified Jose Abreu as one of the most fascinating free agents. Again, with Matt and Courtney, both based in Chicago, both have an extensive history of watching this guy play, Jose Abreu, with the White Sox ever since he came aboard there. So they offer a really, really good perspective. So I think that all the people in Houston, what you're going to want to do, you're going to want to sit back, soak in what Courtney and Matt have to say about Abreu. I think you're going to like it. I think it's going to make you feel a little bit better. Although, how do you not feel good? You get basically almost your whole team back except for Verlander, and you're fresh off a world championship. So there you go. Congratulations. But we just want to give this to you. Let's say you're welcome, Houston. You're welcome, Houston. Here's some more praise about your new player, Jose Abreu. When you think Jose Abreu, what do you think of?
I think of an unbelievable professional as a ball player, legit, really good hitter who can also slug. not just a slugger who hits a little bit. Incredibly consistent productivity. And a guy who has gotten better defensively in his 30s, which is you're not supposed to do that, but it's a testament to the work ethic. I think the world of the guy as a ball player. And you know, Rob, and you know, Courtney, when you're actually like covering somebody every day and paying attention, and you get a good 4 or 5 years of somebody under your belt, and now for Abreu, it's been what, 6? Full go of that amazing of that contract. You really understand the dude. I've never seen the guy take a day off or an at bat off. You know, I mean, yeah, he might sit every once in a while, but every at bat he's battling, he's trying. And it's not kind of the classic way that shows up in the numbers. He's not a big pitches per plate appearance guy. He's not a huge on base percentage guy without the batting average, because he does swing, but he always looks for a pitch to drive, and he usually does drive it. And I just respect everything about the way he does it. And, you know, it's one thing to think, well, a 36-year-old guy, he's probably a leader. No, he is a leader. He's not the most vocal leader, and he's never really gone outside of Spanish. Like, he's not one of those guys who has now crossed over and can talk to everybody necessarily. So you don't get that. But especially if you've got a ball club with any young Latin players or whatever, the respect for the guy is through the roof. And some of that is due to his origin story and his years in Cuba, which are just astounding. And we can go into detail on that if we want. But the guy as a ball player, I mean, this town has been blessed with some first basemen. You know, for a while there, it was Derek Lee and Paul Konerko, right? Both studly professionals, badasses, showing up reliable every day. And Anthony Rizzo and Jose Abreu, like, there were a few years there where you're like, see, look at this. We got another one after Mark Grace and Frank Thomas. You know what I mean? So, like, every once in a while, the Cubs and Sox hook up with first baseman or stalwarts and, like, salt of the earth ball players and super trustworthy guys you want to be teammates with. And for the most part, not all those guys had everything that I think about it out loud. But but anyway, Abreu, an absolute stud of a ball player, still very vital and would be an incredible addition to any clubhouse.
See, I can see the Courtney's like heart rate is going through the roof. Like, she could, you have spoken to her. I can tell you, you've spoken to her fandom as someone who obviously have lived and died with the White Sox. From your perspective, Courtney, is there anything that Matt didn't hit it on, or more importantly, is there anything that he said that you're like, man, that's the most important piece of the puzzle there?
You know, honestly, Matt, he hit it all. One thing I will just kind of enhance to that is, I've often said this, I really believe he is one of the more underrated athletes, not just with the White Sox, in the city of Chicago. Underrated, underappreciated. Just like what Matt said, the guy always wants to be in the lineup. I mean, I was at that game against the Royals where, I'm blanking on his name, Matt, when he got absolutely crushed by the big outfielder. I know you know what I'm talking about.
Hunter Dozier, I think.
Bingo.
It was.
Hunter Dozier. I mean, I was sitting behind home plate and I heard the collision. It was violent. He wanted to keep going. Yeah. I mean, the toughness that he shows, he's a gamer. He wants to be in the lineup every single day. He's an actual baseball player. And I feel like that was missing quite a bit on this current White Sox team, baseball players. And Jose is tough. And I think we've hit on this in a couple months ago between you and I, Rob. Chris Sale used to credit Jose Abreu of being an extremely big leader in the clubhouse. So as Matt said, he is not as much of a vocal leader, but he's still considered a huge leader, especially with the Cuban contingency that is in that clubhouse. He's a very valuable part of that White Sox team, extremely.
So how much do you guys think that the White Sox are going to value this? Because I'll speak after you guys say this, and I'll speak to how I think baseball might value him. But how much do you think the White Sox are going to value him? Or are they just saying, hey, listen, we got to turn stuff over and it's time to move on?
They have a they have a real trick bag of a roster. Like Andrew Vaughn needs to play first base or maybe left field. Eloy Jimenez needs to be a DH or maybe left field. You know, Gavin Sheets is a first baseman or maybe left field. you see, sensing a trend here. Yeah. Yasmani Grandal is a catcher who should probably play first base or DH.
So that's four first basemen. Yeah.
There were times last year where they had Vaughn in left and Sheets in right. And yep. It's like, and what are we doing here? So they really, so that's part of it. And look, maybe they'll trade Vaughn or they'll trade Eloy. If they could trade Yasmani, I think they would have, but they can't. And maybe Pedro Grifol can unlock him. But they're kind of locked in from a roster situation to where it looks like they're going to let Abreu go because it's the simplest way to do it. Plus, then you don't pay him and maybe you could pay somebody else and their payroll is going to probably stay static. So that's the big thing. I don't think they're unhappy with him in any way. At all. They're just ready to change over the roster and try to do it a different way, and I think it might bite them in the ass, truth be told.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, Cordy, from your perspective, I mean, you said like this is a glue guy. This is and you know, coming from the fans' perspective, I would imagine this, and tell me if I'm wrong, but this wasn't a very popular White Sox team, right?
Not even close.
Correct. Yeah, I went on a limb there, but this was a popular player on one of the few popular players on this team. So, from the fans' perspective, you're moving on, and I see it in different places. You're trying to fill spots and you're trying to build a team, but there's also something to be said for who's going to be wearing the jersey with a name on the back. What kids? Right. What do you? So you tell me, like. What's the kids are going to wear? And that's a small part of it, but it's the business part of it. It's why Bryce Harper is worth some of the money that he's worth. Mm-hmm. Because you need the guy whose name is going to be on the back of the jersey of the little kids.
Marketability, of course. It's huge.
Yeah. So who's that guy if Abreu leaves?
Tim Anderson, probably.
Okay. But, okay, you tell me. You know, Tim Anderson obviously hurt. He's got a great personality. We all love his voice in the game, but where does he rank in terms of the fabric of the White Sox?
You know, different player. I mean, like you said, he's been hurt. His defense at times is struggling, for lack of a better word. Definitely just a different kind of player. As I said, Abreu was kind of that old school grinder type, wants to play through the injuries. Where I don't see that from Tim as much. So again, it's a little bit of a different just type of baseball player. Tim obviously has the flash. You know, he's out there with the big bat flips, changed the game. He's got the whole slogan. But it's not the same for me as a Jose Abreu, a guy that wants to be there every single day. It's different.
Yeah, TA had a rough year. He didn't play very well. Played real sloppy defensively and on the bases, and then the batting average got in decay, got hurt a couple of times, obviously, and there was some stuff going on with him, some rumors and some things on social media. Seemed like he had a lot going on personally, which affected him. And so he was, it was a rough year. He could bounce back from it, but it was definitely a rough go. And in terms of marketability, I don't know that the White Sox are in a position where they're allowing themselves to think about it. You know, they're like, time is now. Their window is now. They're right in the middle of it, and they just wasted a year and a half or 2 years because of Jerry Reinsdorf's vanity hire of Tony La Russa, and now Rick Hahn got to do it his own way. And he really is being given the freedom, and this is a last gasp for him, perhaps, of a chance to do this particular window right. So, look, it's possible that the Abreu save, where he stays a White Sox, would be the Reinsdorfian move of this offseason, right? Because Jerry loves him.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Dude. Jerry once presented Jose Abreu a ring for hitting for the cycle. It's one of my favorite things. Like they were in the middle of a period where they didn't win a damn thing.
This is like John Henry giving Ricky Henderson a car for being a Red Sox for 1 year.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's perfect. Right.
Yeah.
Like it was like Abreu hit for the cycle, and 2 nights later, like Reinsdorf is in the clubhouse presenting him with a ring, because there's an emotional connection. And so, you know, if Jerry's going to step in, it could be, you know what, let's give Jose $10 million. And, you know, the hot rumor is for Abreu is the Cubs.
Yeah.
Nobody would hate that more than Jerry Reinsdorf.
I would rather see him on the Cubs than the Twins. That is for sure.
Yes.
That is for sure.
And don't you think it's possible, Courtney, that Jose's agent is very interested in that rumor being what it is,
in order to
drive Jerry to such things? Not that this business works that way, Rob.
No. But you know, I look at it from now. I'm looking from the outside of, like, and I'm always fascinated by how much front offices value guys like this. I really am. And I think that front offices, it is cyclical. And I do think it's starting to turn a little bit because the narrative has gotten so strong where, you know, front offices were catching so much heat. So you have to, like, I can't tell you how many podcasts I did this year where, you know, Mitch Moreland, Brock Holt, you know, whoever, and they just would come out and say, yeah, this is stupid. This is ridiculous. And obviously they had skin in the game because they were the guys. But I've heard a ton of other people, John Lester, whoever. And then so when we asked, you know, I had Chaim Bloom on and he asked about Xander Bogaerts, how much does this stuff mean? And he's like, well, of course it means something. Otherwise, as a 30-year-old free agent, we're not even getting on the bus with him. You know, it's like, okay, well, that sounds good. But how much are they truly going to value that? Now, Jose Abreu is still a good player, man. Like, as you guys point out, I mean, this guy, look at his OPS. I mean, it dipped barely below 800 once. And so, but at the same time, there has to be, I think, winning, and Rich Hill said this a bunch, you know, winning, look at the winning teams, they have winning players. And with the right group around them, it seems like this guy's a winning player.
100%. 100%. Yeah.
Go ahead, Courtney.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead, Matt.
You know, he's definitely that guy. And we know that. And we lived it in this town with the Cubs. We're like, the guy you talked to, what, a couple weeks ago, David Ross, as soon as he left, they spent 3 years in the wilderness looking for that next guy. They went out. They had John Jay. They went out and got Daniel Descalso, like looking for these, like, just sort of hard scrabble vets who show up and are gamers.
Yeah, we had John Jay for a minute too, man. Let's not forget.
Yeah, that's right.
We had John Jay for a minute too.
Yeah, so no, there's value with those guys. I will tell you one thing about the offensive profile of Abreu. He had a terrible start this year, and then like a lot of sluggers who can also hit do, he kind of concentrated on just making contact, and he had a huge amount of singles this year, and the homers, the power never really came back. Like I thought the approach was smart. Like you're having trouble controlling the strike zone, having trouble, you know, really driving the ball. So he shortened up and really just tried to make contact. And then you figure the swing would get a little longer and the power would come back. And it didn't really happen. So it could be that the White Sox front office looks at him and says, he's a late 30s singles hitting first baseman that's even less valuable than a late 30s power hitting first baseman, right?
But as I said, that's something that always resonated with me, was how he really worked to improve his defense. I mean, there were a few years there where I thought he could win a Gold Glove. I think it was last year where he was incredible in the infield. I mean, incredible. And that to me is someone that takes pride in his craft. And that's something that I didn't see a whole lot of with this current White Sox team, where honestly, like a Tim Anderson who gets a little sloppy defensively, you know, comparing that to a Jose Abreu who really, really wanted to make it a point to get better defensively. that kind of stuff resonates with the fan base.
How much I know that, you know, of the many problems that they had this year, how much do you think that, and you guys talk about Rick Kahn finally getting sort of a little bit of the reins back, will they say, all right, man, like, we were fundamentally, we were terrible. Defensively, we were terrible. How much are they going to be, do you think that that'll turn, that that'll, they'll prioritize that stuff?
Well, let's see if you can teach it to big leaguers in their 20s and
that's the problem, right? If you're locked into guys, it's like, good luck. You know, it's like you can hit all the ground balls and fly balls you want. They are what they are at that point.
I asked Pedro Grifol that exact question on the air the day he was hired. He's like, can you teach fundamentals to veteran players? And he said, yeah, you can. So they believe that he can. They really do believe that just by coaching these guys up, they're going to be a lot better. By holding them accountable, by actually giving them energy, by having a manager who has patience and time and the ability to communicate and really try to connect with them, that they're going to be a lot better. So they're definitely gonna focus on that stuff, and we'll see what happens in that regard. One other thing you got to know about Abreu is the level of respect within, especially the Cuban community. So, like, when Yasmani Grandal came here, he just like threw it in at the end of an answer one time and it caught us all off guard. He said, yeah, I'm just here to try and play well and do what we can and .. follow Abreu to the promised land.
Yeah.
Grandal is a made guy coming here, signing a 4-year, what, $76 million deal or whatever it was, having been to a World Series. And he said, we're here to follow Abreu to the promised land. I mean, that's respect, you know?
You know, and with Abreu in Boston, he will forever be known as the guy who brought Ruisne Castillo to Boston in a weird way. because the Red Sox missed out on which was the bizarre sort of posting fee for Abreu. It was like this blind posting fee.
Yeah.
And evidently they missed out on him by like $6 million or something. And then the Red Sox, as they want to do sometimes, chasing their tail, they said, well, let's get the next good Cuban player. And so the next year they get Ruisne Castillo, and that didn't work out too well. But
I will say one thing about the White Sox fundamentals that Matt was touching on. I just got to say, again, kind of the fan base standpoint, how refreshing it's going to be to have a whole new set of eyes.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with the White Sox organization. They're hiring from the outside. Pedro Grifol, as we talked about, Rob, comes very, very highly regarded. And it's just going to be so nice not to have a bunch of White Sox retreads coaching up this team.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.